this morning. Really appreciate Red taking last week. I heard it tasted really good. But I really appreciate that. I heard many good comments from it. Luke chapter 14 is where we are. Come more than halfway through the book at this point. Oh, in a couple of weeks, you're going to be amazed, because what we're going to do in a few weeks, you're just going to be amazed. Anyway, we're in Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, going to be starting in verse 15 this morning, going through verse 24. Luke chapter 14, starting in verse 15. When one of those who were reclining at the table with him heard this, he said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." And he said to him, "A man was giving a big dinner, and he invited many. And at the dinner hour, he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is ready now.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said to him, 'I have bought a piece of land, and I need to go out and look at it. Please consider me excused.' Another one said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am going to try them out. Please consider me excused.' Another one said, 'I have married a wife, and for that reason I cannot come.' And the slave came back and reported this to his master. Then the head of the household became angry and said to his slave, 'Go at once into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and crippled and blind and lame.' And the slave said, 'Master, what you commanded has been done, and still there is room.' And the master said to the slave, 'Go out into the highways and along the hedges and compel them to come in, so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those who were invited shall taste of my dinner.'" Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for this, your word, the truth of your word about your kingdom. Lord God, your son, Jesus Christ, here on earth, he told the truth. And he told the truth to those who needed it, who needed to hear the truth and yet were rejecting it. But Father God, he spoke the truth. And Lord, in the parables that he spoke, he pointed something out. Father God, what he was pointing out was the pride that these folks had. Father, I pray that as we go through this, you would help us to recognize pride and the destructiveness of pride. And what that does in life. Father God, how that formed these folks here who were religious, very religious. And yet their pride canceled anything good out. I pray, Father, that you would help us in recognizing the problems with pride. We love you. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. As we've been coming through Luke, what we've seen is the only Gentile writer of one of the Gospels. What he is writing about is the humanity of Christ. And he's showing that through his life, through his ministry, through his baptism, that Jesus was baptized by John, that the ministry that he had, the miracles that he performed, the fact that he had chosen the 12 to follow him, and he had, at this point, he had myriads of disciples. He had many of them that were following him. And he also had a massive amount of people that were just curious and onlookers. We know from what we have already studied that there were over 10,000 at this point following him around. But at this point in his ministry, he's probably 2 to 3 to 4 months away from going into Jerusalem and dying on the cross. So it's toward the end of his ministry, and he has performed many miracles. He's raised people from the dead, so people are excited. And he's in this section, especially starting in chapter 12, he has warned the people about judgment to come and exposed the hypocrisy of the leaders, the Sadducees, and especially the Pharisees. The Pharisees in chapter 14, they thought they could trap him, so they invited him to a Pharisee's house, which is where we're at. They invited him to a Pharisee's house and said, "You know, you need to come and have dinner with us." And it was on the Sabbath, and they brought in someone who was sick, and they were wondering if he would heal somebody on the Sabbath, hoping that he would, so that they had something to pin on him, because that went against the oral traditions excuse me, it went against the oral traditions handed down. Not the law, not the Mosaic law, but those oral traditions that helped protect the law that had been handed down over generations. And Jesus pointed out their hypocrisy and then healed the man. So they got what they wanted, but at the same time, they were silenced. They really couldn't come back with anything. They couldn't pin anything on them. They were silenced in that because they had been shown to be hypocrites. So he was exposing their pride, and he did so as an act of mercy. In fact, he goes on and tells a couple of he talks to the people coming. The guests, there we go. He talks to the guests, the Pharisees who had come to this home, and he says, hey, you guys, after watching them, seeing that they were going after the best seats, he says, hey, you know, there's a problem with that. There's a problem with that. You can be humiliated, or you can start out as humble and then have your host move you up. Instead of going for the chief seats, take the low seat and let your host come and move you up in front of everyone. Instead of humiliate you in front of everyone. And then to the host, he gives another illustration. He says, look, don't just invite people who are going to invite you back, people who can repay you, but get the poor and the blind and the crippled, the lame, get them and invite them because they can't pay you back. And it's not a status symbol. And all of these things he was talking about, whether to the guests or the hosts, were foreign to these folks because they were after the status. When they went to a party, they went for the chief seats. They went for the best. As far as a host, if he invited people to the party, he would never invite someone who was cursed by God for their sin. Obviously, if they were crippled or blind, or that was their mindset. So they would never do that. So this was all foreign to them. So he pointed that out. And in pointing that out, he showed by viewing God and man in their true light. But he encouraged humility. So what we're going to look at today is the kingdom of God illustrated. We're still there. We're still in that home. If you look at verse 15, it says, when one of those who were reclining at the table with him heard this, he said to him, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. We're going to be looking at the prideful response. The prideful response. You see, I used to read that and I thought, oh, well, he's talking about Jesus. He's talking about being in the kingdom of God with Jesus. That wasn't what he was talking about at all. See, the man who was there, the men who were there were Pharisees. And so this was a Pharisee who had this response. Jesus had just pointed out their hypocrisy by healing the man. And he had pointed out their pride. Said, no, instead of going for the chief seats, don't do that. And instead of inviting everybody who can invite you back, don't do that. Invite the lowly. This man here decided to wave all of that off. And look what he says. He says, when one of those who were reclining at the table with him heard this, he heard that Jesus had just rebuked the guest and the host, showed their pride. He said, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. So this person, and we know the whole group did, but this person specifically knew that he was talking about the kingdom of God. Right? The kingdom of God, remember, to the Pharisees, the kingdom of God was going to happen soon. It was going to happen on earth. And if this was the Messiah, which he couldn't be because he had already claimed to be God in John chapter 12, if this was the Messiah, then he would usher in the kingdom of God. Then he would be the king. Then Israel would become a great nation again and Rome would fall. But this wasn't happening. This didn't seem to be happening. This man here was blasphemous and he was taking away their power. He was encroaching upon their power, their hold on the people. In other words, they were losing control of the people. Are you catching this? What is it about control that is so wonderful? I mean, and yet this is what people are motivated by, especially these Pharisees. They had control of the people through the religious system. And Jesus was smashing that. And he had a following that was massive, and they were jealous, and they couldn't figure out how to stop him. They wanted to discredit him. Could not figure out how to stop him. Eventually, they thought they did on the cross, but that didn't even work. But what he says here is an example of what everybody there felt. He says, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. Blessed means fortunate or happy is everyone who will eat. The words will eat is in the middle voice. So everyone who will in and of themselves eat bread in the kingdom of God. You know what he's saying? Literally, he is saying, blessed are we who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. Instead of seeing the pride that Jesus was pointing out, instead of grasping the humility that he was exemplifying and he was wanting them to catch, it had the opposite effect on these folks. And he says, blessed are we who in and of ourselves, because we're so good, because we're the religious elite, because we know God so well and we're Jews, blessed are we who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. So he's talking about the kingdom of God. He understood that Jesus was pointing out the kingdom of God in his parables. He had an extremely self-focused remark. He was seeking to counter what Jesus already said. Because Jesus had just pointed out to the guests and the hosts that what they were doing was the wrong angle, the wrong way to approach God. And he points, he's seeking to change that. He's seeking to put the mood back in their favor. He says, blessed are we, us, who in and of ourselves are going to eat bread in the kingdom of God. And he said this because of his pride, because of his self-focus and self-assurance. Because he had really good self-esteem. You catch that? It's amazing the words we use, and we want to build self-esteem in the kids. Folks, every one of us have plenty of self-esteem. We need to understand our self-worth. I desire that my children, my grandchildren, have self-worth, have their worth based on who Christ is and what he has done for them. We see our self-worth through Scripture, through what Jesus Christ did. Self-esteem is what this guy had. He had plenty of it. He knew Jesus was speaking about the kingdom of God, and he believed they were all included because of their Jewish heritage and because of their observance of the law, their religion. So let's look at Jesus' parable. He gives them a parable. In verse 16, parable of the kingdom, says this, but he, being Jesus, said to him, the man who said this, a man was giving a big dinner, and he invited many. And at the dinner hour, he sent his slaves to say to those who were invited, come, for everything is ready now. So this man who was giving a big dinner, the word big is the word mega, literally. And we transliterate that, we get our word mega from the mega, I don't know, mega church. That's usually bigger than this. Oh, questions later. All right. Mega church, all right? That's usually bigger than 100 people. That's like 20,000 people. So the word mega means really, really big. And it says he invited many. So this would have been an extremely rich person. It would have been an important person. And he invited the important people. He invited the rich. He invited the elite. They would have understood this because this is exactly what they were seeking to do, okay? But this would have been somebody even more important. In fact, this parallels the parable of the king who invited everybody to his son's wedding. So it would have been a very major event, a very important event. And when they did this, they gave a double invitation. They would send out an invitation or send out slaves to invite people. And at that point, the people would say, yeah, that'd be great. I want a cup. Because it doesn't say here that they told them no yet. But then, when it was ready, they would send out slaves to say, okay, it's ready now. So it's not quite like today because they didn't have microwaves. That's the issue. They didn't have a microwave. They couldn't warm it up really quick. All right? They didn't know, okay, you got to come at noon tomorrow because it's going to, he said, sometime tomorrow or sometime in the next 3 days. We're going to have this big, major, and we're going to put it together. We're killing the animals now. We're getting them all ready. We're going to cure some. We're going to do. But when it's ready, they would send out slaves to go and tell them, hey, it's ready. You come on. It's ready now. So they did that. They did that. And when they first invited them, nobody denied. But look what it says. Verse 18. But they all, you catch that? They all, every one of them, alike, begin to make excuses. And the word make excuses means to refuse. They begin to refuse. The first one said to him, I have bought a piece of land and I need to go out and look at it. Please consider me excused. Second one said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I'm going to try them out. Please consider me excused. Third one said, I am married a wife. For that reason, I cannot come. Okay? So these were the excuses. And you know what? This slave knew it. The host knew it. These were lame excuses. And the way that it's worded is even amazing. First one says, I've bought a piece of land. So obviously he was rich, and he had bought land, and I have to go look at it. Now think about that for a moment. These people would never have bought a piece of land without looking at it. And it says he already bought it. He could have looked at it later. Where's the land going? He could have gone to the feast and then come back and looked at it later. So in other words, what I am doing is much more important than what you have for me here. And the Pharisees knew what he was talking about as far as the kingdom. So there's one excuse. The second excuse was an auction. was the cow type auction. The oxen. He bought 5 yoke. In other words, 5 pairs of oxen. He would have had to have been very rich to do that. He says, I need to go test them out. Need to go try them out. Well, number one, you would never buy them without seeing them and either trying them yourself or seeing them work. And number two, if he was that wealthy, he had slaves that could do it. Number three, you can wait 2 days or 3 days or whatever it takes to do it. So again, it was an excuse. And in both of those cases, if you look at it, both of those cases, at the end of the verse, it says, please consider me excused. So in other words, please let me off of this. Let me go from this invitation. The last one's a little bit different. The last one, he says in verse 20, another said, I have married a wife. For that reason, I can't come. I've married a wife. Now, to the Pharisee, women were not very high up on the scale, right? And to have a woman, tell him that he can't go to this mega feast, to this wonderful party, would never have crossed their mind. So the Pharisees are sitting back going, oh, well, these people are stupid. These people are dumb. And not only that, but if you look at that in verse 20, it says, for that reason, I cannot come. The word cannot come is the word dunamos. I have no power to come. This verges on an extremely rude response to the host. This is the way he said it was very rude. You would be very rude to say this to the host. He said, I'm not interested in coming. I just got married. I am not coming. There wasn't anything in the law that said he couldn't, and the Pharisees said, hey, that's crazy. All right? Now, if you look at these three things, it's interesting to me, because if you look at these three things, we see in the temptations of Christ, we see what Scripture says about how when we fall to temptations, it's because of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the sinful pride of life, right? You look at Eve in the garden and the way Satan presents it, the lust of the flesh, that it's good to eat, the lust of the eyes, it looks good for fruit, and the pride of life, and it'll make you wise. You look at the temptations of Christ. All three of those temptations represent the same thing, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Look at this. The land, the lust of the eyes, the oxen, the lust of the flesh, to have that power, to have that stuff. The marriage, the pride of life. All of these things represent the temptations that every one of us face. The temptations that lead to sin. But all of this happened, and so Jesus is letting them know. And look at the response. The response of the host. Look at verse 21. And the slave came back and reported this to his master. Then the head of the house became angry. He became angry. There's the response of the host. And the anger was justified because it was a huge insult. It was a huge insult not only publicly, but privately, to this host. He had invited them earlier. They had said, sure, that'd be great. He had sent for them, and they hadn't come. So it was a huge insult. Now remember, we're talking about the kingdom of God. They knew it. The Pharisees understood that. And they were on Jesus' side still. They're saying, yeah. Well, that's, oh yeah. I'd have been angry too. I'd have been upset too. But then, look what he does. He said to his slave, go out at once. And that go out at once is in the imperative mode. He said, go out now. Go right now. Do this. He says, go out at once into the streets and lanes of the city, what's inside the city, and bring here the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Wait a second. He had just told the parable of telling the host to invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. And that's not something the Pharisees would ever do, because in their mind they were cursed of God because they had this physical issue. He said, go invite all of those people, those who were lowly, in their place, those who were in the city and yet were looked down upon. The people that he invited were too important to come in their own mind. They had too important of things to do. But this was too important of a banquet. It had been prepared. It had taken too much preparation. So he said, go and do that and invite those with no way to respond and to give him back anything, to invite those who were poor, those who were humble in their attitude, in their heart, those who would be thrilled to do something like this. He says, go and invite those who would be thrilled to come to something like this. And the slave came back, look at verse 22. Slave came back and said, Master, what you've done has been, or commanded has been done. The word has been done is in the perfect tense. It's been completely done. We have everybody here, and you know what? There's still room. This must have been a massive house. We went out into the city. We found the poor. We found the blind, the crippled, the lame. We found them all, and we invited them, and they came. He says, you know what? There's still room. So in verse 23, the master said to the slave, go out into the highways and along the hedges and compel them to come in so that my house may be filled. Now, you have to understand, when you're talking about the highways and the hedges, you're not talking about civilized folks. You're talking about those who were outcasts from the city. They couldn't live in the city with them because they weren't real civilized. They were lower than the crippled and the blind and the poor. They were lower than that on their society's status scale. And the Pharisees are going, wait a second. I understand that he's mad because the people who he invited wouldn't come. But you're talking about evil. You're talking about people who don't deserve to be there. They don't deserve to be there because they're low in their status. They're not blessed as we are. And yet that one had just pointed out the pride that they all felt, saying, hey, blessed are we who are going to eat bread in the kingdom of God. And here Jesus is saying, look, those guys that deserve that, but were invited, they didn't come. They didn't want to go. But all of these outcasts, all of these people who don't deserve it, go out and get them. This wasn't making a lot of sense to the people. But look what he says, because in verse 23, it's great. It says, go out to the highways and hedges, and what does it say? Compel them. Compel them. You know what compel means? It means to beg, to ask earnestly. Ask them earnestly to come in. Why? Well, because they wouldn't have done it, naturally. They would not have naturally come. Somebody come out and say, hey, you're invited to this wealthy man's banquet. We want you to come to this well. And yeah, okay. Who sent you? It's a candid camera. Here I am. Who sent you? There is no way you would ever invite me to that. And it says, now this is the host. This is the one putting it on. This is the one in charge. And he tells his slave, compel them. Ask them earnestly. Compel them. Because they would not have done it naturally. They knew they were not worthy. They could never repay it. They weren't self-focused like those who had been invited. It's what the Pharisees would never have done. All of this made no sense to the Pharisees because they weren't gaining any social status from it. Remember, he's talking to them and they were at a feast right then. And it was completely opposite of what he's talking about. So look what it says, last verse, verse 24. For I tell you, none of these men who were invited shall taste of my dinner. Now the Pharisees completely agreed with that except for one point. All right? And I want to show you that. Because they would have said, you know, I agree. These guys that were invited should never get to taste of anything. But there was one problem with what he said. Look at verse 24 there. The first thing he said was, for I tell you. He is specifically talking to the one who said, hey, blessed are we who, because we're so good, are going to get to eat in the kingdom of God, get to eat bread in the kingdom of God, because we are the bomb. We are so cool. We're going to get to eat because we're religious, because we are God's chosen people. And then Jesus says, I tell you. He brought it right back to the one who had bragged about his heritage, about his religious standing, about his place in society. He brought it right back to him and says, I tell you, and Luke is good at this. Luke is really good at this. It's emphatic when he says, I tell you. Very emphatic. And Jesus said that to help this person. You know, we say, well, Jesus was just condemning him. No, he was helping him recognize that he needed to be invited, that he needed to accept that invitation. He was helped. This was an act of mercy on Jesus' account. Jesus didn't have to say anything. He didn't have to point out his pride. He didn't have to point out the pride of anyone there, but he did. He says, none of them who were invited in the beginning will get to come to any of it. Their pride would dictate that. They understood that. They liked that nobody would get to come because they nobody would get to eat of it because they didn't come when they were invited. But the problem when he said, I tell you that, I say this to you, was that he was pointing out in this parable, he was pointing it towards them. And this was an act of mercy. This is a picture of God's kingdom. You see that? This is a picture of God's kingdom where God is the host and Israel was invited. Israel was invited and they accepted to begin with. Through Abraham, they accepted the invitation. Yeah, this is great. We want to be God's chosen people. This is wonderful. But God, when he sent Jesus as the Messiah, they rejected that. They had all the other excuses made up. John came, Jesus came to proclaim the kingdom of God. That's why Jesus, he came to proclaim God's kingdom. And yet they took it wrong. In fact, they rejected it. He was rejected by the ruling elites. He was rejected by most of Israel, and especially he was rejected by the religious system that Israel had set up. God offers this kingdom now to the world. You see that? You see that? The host said, all right, these elites, these people who I invited, reject it and won't want to come. Go out and get the people that they would reject. Offer it to the world. Offer it to the poor, the sick. Offer it to the people outside of the city. God offers this kingdom to the world, to all who will come, to all who will humble themselves to the will of God. God offers this life in his Son. Guess what? The world now has the invitation. Jesus confronted the self-righteous religious attitude that these Pharisees had with truth. He confronted it with truth. Folks, do not rely on your religion. Do not rely on your social standing. Do not rely on your heritage or on your family, on your material possessions. Do not rely on any earthly relationship to keep you in God's kingdom or to get you into God's kingdom. Because that's what these guys, they were relying on their religious standing, their social standing. They were relying on the fact that they were Jews. And yet Jesus pointed out to them, and they caught it. Trust me, they caught it. He pointed out to them that those who were invited, they won't get to eat. Did you notice that at the end? He said, those who were invited shall, none of those men who were invited shall taste of my dinner. Because the man had said, blessed are those who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. He says, none of them who were invited will taste of my, because they rejected the truth. They rejected that truth. Jesus confronted that self-righteous attitude with truth. God opens this invitation to those who need him, who humble themselves before an almighty God, who trust his son for their salvation instead of their works. These guys were trusting their own works. That offer went out to everyone. You know what? We can offer that to others. We can offer that to those around us. In fact, we can compel them to come in. We can compel others to trust in Christ as their Savior. We can show them that, guess what? You want to be in part of the kingdom of God? You want to be a part of that feast? You want to go to an amazing party? An amazing banquet that you will never, ever hunger from? That you will love being there. That host wants you there. We get to compel folks to come in. We get to. We're allowed to because we are like that servant. We, those who have trusted in Christ, are God's servant, are his children. We get to go forth and compel them to come to Christ. To point out the truth of the relationship that God has made possible. He's made a relationship possible with us. Not a religion, but a relationship. God loves the world. You know what? How great is that, that we get to share that? Next week, we're going to look at the relationships that keep people from it. We're going to look at that last part. But this week, what I want you to see here is that Jesus was pointing out their pride. He was pointing out their self-focused pride and saying, look, you guys think you've got it because of what you do, because you're born in and because of your social status. That's not it at all. This host went out and compelled everyone to come in. Not the ones, and the ones who were invited, the ones that, he's pointing out Israel's problem with pride. Pride is a key here. Pride is the key. Pride is what keeps people from knowing Jesus Christ. If you have never trusted in Jesus Christ, I would love to show you from God's word how you can take that pride and bury it in humility. Bury it and let God do his work in you. Not your work. It's not your work that will get you to heaven. It's not your work that will get you to God. It is the work that he has already done. It is through Jesus Christ, the blood of Christ. And because of that work, we can go out and share that with others. If you've never trusted Christ, I'd love to show you from God's word how you can have that relationship that's true. Where you can call the maker of the universe your daddy. If you have trusted in Jesus Christ, then compel others. Compel others. Why? Because it's a cool thing. Because heaven's a great place. Because the kingdom of God is going to be fabulous. Let's share it. Yeah, I know we won't get as much to eat, right? I know, because if we invite somebody to Thanksgiving dinner, then you don't get as much fish, right? You made more fish, right? Lots of fish. He made lots of fish. God makes lots of food. Don't worry about that. There'll be plenty there. And God will still love you just as much. He can share his love. Invite others. Compel them. Show them what a great thing the kingdom of God is. Let's close in prayer.